many of you will follow teams. Maybe you follow tigers, foxes, riders, or even lions. Recently, while many people's eyes were on the Commonwealth Games, I was following the World BMX Championships. Individuals competing for their countries, looking to win individual medals on behalf of those countries that they represented. Some countries worked well as teams, with lots of team talks and trainings to help build up a cohesive team. Others had no such team building. But all the teams were identified by the colours and the logos they wore. We can become absorbed by the people or teams that we follow. Emotionally or financially, this may be at a cost to us as followers. But for the participants, it can be even more costly. Not just the cost of training and the kit that is needed, but in the hours spent training, studying their sport, knowing the rules and regulations, looking for ways to improve, and making sometimes very small changes which can improve their performance. Sportsmen and women have to wait to see if these small changes can make a difference to their outcome, to the outcome of their performance. Will they win? Get a higher ranking? Will they keep their place in the team? Being a member of a team can be costly. Jesus said, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." This sounds costly, not an easy option. To be a follower of Christ is challenging and requires commitment, dedication, and training. The passage from Matthew's Gospel comes immediately after Peter's declaration that Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is trying to ensure that those who come to follow him know that there is a radical manifesto to follow. Peter, who has just been given the task of building the church, blunders in, getting it wrong again. Peter is sharply rebuked. Jesus is being very clear that to be a follower of Christ is costly. It is challenging and requires dedication. That was something that Peter did not want to hear. Certainly didn't want to acknowledge. So being a follower of Christ is not an easy option. It does not mean that all will be well. Following Jesus will come at a cost. Can you imagine any of today's politicians trying to get us to believe in policies and a view of the future, saying that it will be this costly? Even during recent years, when politicians of all parties have said we've got to tighten our belts, change our habits, they've not gone as far as Jesus did. To be a follower of Christ must mean losing our life, giving up the things that matter from an earthly perspective. The followers of Jesus, those who knew him physically, had to give up things right from the beginning, dying to their existing life. From the beginning of becoming his followers, they left their jobs, their families, all they knew to travel with him on his journey towards the cross. And it's in this passage that Jesus turns and faces Jerusalem and the cross head on. And as we too follow Christ, we find ourselves changing, seeing things differently. Jesus is giving us a topsy-turvy message, one that is inside out and back to front. Who would want to become a follower of someone who is so radical? As I've already said, being a Christian is not easy. But we're all here because we're trying to be followers of Christ. Jesus is showing us a completely different perspective, one that can be hard to follow. We're being asked to hold up a mirror and to look in and see that mirror image. The story as it is told shows the Pharisees, the Jewish leaders, appearing manifesto appears to be holding sway, but they haven't expected the resurrection, Christ's rising to glory. The followers of Jesus' day did not have the advantages that we have, like the athletes and the sports people who trained to improve their performance. The followers of Jesus did not know the outcome of following Jesus. We know that Jesus died and has risen. We know of his resurrection and of his rising to glory. They did not have that assurance. The cross of Jesus is different from the cross of Caesar, which is a cross of humiliation, a cross of public ritual that was used to restore order. Rather, the cross of Jesus demonstrates God's power to save and redeem. It bears witness to God's true identity and power. The instruction to take up our cross and to follow Jesus for my sake is the living embodiment, the visible and living sign of Peter's confession that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. The cross is the logo that Christians wear, a logo that has many variations. Some crosses are highly embellished, like the one on the banner just there. They're flamboyant affairs. But that may have little to do with the Christian faith, as the cross has become a fashion accessory. At one time, if someone was wearing a cross, it was a statement of faith. Now, it could just as easily be an accessory that has no connection to the faith of the person. There is the Latin cross that is made of two straight pieces. Then there are those that have got lots of twiddly bits on it. The Greek crosses, those that are more square in appearance. The Tau cross, that worn by the Franciscans. The Eastern cross. And then there's the crucifix. But that should not be mixed up with the cross. The variety of crosses that are worn as jewellery, as embellishments, as that adorn our churches are many and varied, just as how the cross is carried or worn. The cost of the cross will be different for each of us. Meister Eckhart, a medieval German mystic, said, "What good is it that Christ died at Calvary and rose again in the holy tomb if Christ did not die within me and rise again within me?" It is through our recognition of how our personal pain relates to God's pain, the pain we recognise as the cross that we carry. It may be a cross we carry only for a short time, but each of the crosses we carry will be different. But the cross is not just a personal cross. It is not simply that you or I are invited to pick up and carry our crosses and follow Christ. Whilst yes, everyone is invited to follow Christ, it is as a community that we become the body of Christ in this place. The cross on the altar frontal in the old church can be seen in this way. It's made of lots of small pieces that have been joined together to make it into the cross. And it is just in that way that we come together as a community, lots of individuals forming that community, that body of Christ. That here in Birstall, we pick up our cross, but we do not have to be prepared to die for our faith. However, we know that this is not always the case. The news is full of the persecution of Christians. Those in Iraq, the body of Christ there and in other parts of the world. It's not just the individuals, but collectively as Christ's body. Christians in India, Syria, Cameroon, Nigeria and China, to name but a few, are all carrying their crosses as they face persecution. Paul wrote to the Romans about the marks of being a Christian. Part of what he was saying was about contributing to the needs of the saints, that is, our brothers and sisters in Christ. Our persecuted fellow Christians are being challenged, in the words of verse 14 of that reading we heard today, to bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. That's hard. But if we listen to those words in the contemporary English translation, that same verse says, ask God to bless everyone who ill-treats you. Ask him to bless them and not curse them. This translation turns our understanding on its head. So rather than us or the persecuted needing to bless those who persecute, we're asked to ask God to do the blessing. It is not for us to bless, but it is for us to ask God to bless them. So the challenge for us is, how do we contribute to the needs of the saints in Iraq, in Syria, throughout the world where they are in need? Surely it is through prayerfully asking God to bless the perpetrators and to bless the saints. Now, these are complex issues that as Christ's followers we're called to address. But as we have already discovered, the cross is not straightforward. The cross demonstrates God's view of his kingdom, that it is topsy-turvy, back to front, and upside down. The cross that we carry enables us to grow closer to God, to have a joyful relationship with Christ. Like the sports people proudly wearing their team logos, who continually train and work towards making small improvements in their performance, so too do we continually train to improve our performance as followers of Christ. As we carry our cross, our logo, we too need to keep up our training regime. And we do this by coming to church to be sustained by our fellow Christians, our brothers and sisters in Christ. We pray and read and study the scripture in church services, house groups, and at home. And as athletes train to compete, we train to bear faithful witness to God's power in the cross, that through following Christ and acting out our faith, using the gifts and passions we have, whether for social justice, care of the environment, love of our neighbours near and far, or by evangelising, we are able to bear our crosses for the glory and life-transforming power of God. And as we leave church today, may we proudly wear our logo, our topsy-turvy crosses. Follow Christ out into the world, being the people, both individuals and the community, that shares the love of Christ with those in need, the persecuted saints, our friends and neighbours, and those we meet in our daily lives. Knowing that the cross of Christ is the symbol of salvation. Amen.